as we're in this place right now, the Spirit of God is at work right now in our hearts. Really strong. He's really strong in this place. Can you sense Him working on us? I want to ask the team to stay up here. I'm just going to go into what I want to minister tonight, this morning, because they're hitting right on it. And so wherever you're at, just feel free to go ahead and have a seat. You don't have to return to your seat. If you want to sit on the floor, sit right where you're at. I want to minister about this pouring out that they're talking about. And we'll get into the rest of the service later. Announcements, offering, all that. D.L. Moody says, "A great many think that because they have been filled once, they are going to be filled for all time after. But oh, my friend, we are leaky vessels and have to be kept right under the fountain all the time in order to be kept full." I would argue that our cup not only needs to be kept full, but our cup needs to be running over, like Psalm 23 tells us. Psalm 23:5. "You prepare a place for me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over." I don't know about you, but I can't sit in the presence of my enemies, in the presence of my adversities, in the presence of my troubles and my circumstances, half empty or half full or even full, but I need my cup to run over. So I want to talk to you for just a little bit this morning about ministering out of the overflow of God, not out of the supply of God. Or ministering out of the overflow of His grace, not just the supply of His grace. It says in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, "Now He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness." In the NLT it says, "For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and bread to eat. In the same way, He will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity within you." It doesn't say He supplies the increase in this passage, although He does. He is the Lord of the harvest, right? It says He supplies and increases. There is a difference, my friends, between the supply of God and the increase. There's a difference between bread for food and seed for the sower. He gives you both bread for food and He gives you seed to sow. I was talking with Chris about this earlier. This week we met and had coffee and talked about this a little bit. And we were both just, we've both been mulling it over all week, just thinking about this. And he said that Bill Johnson, when he talks about this passage, he says, when God gives you bread, you don't put it in the ground. You put seed in the ground, but the bread is for food. So the Lord of the harvest, the Lord of the increase, who gives seed to the sower, also gives bread for food. See, we have to understand that what comes to us, is it bread or is it seed? Are we taking our bread and giving it away? Are we taking our bread and putting it in the ground expecting an increase? Are we taking our bread and feeding other people with it when God wants to give you bread for food? But He also wants to give you seed to sow. So when your cup is full, when your cup is full of your supply, that's for you. Fill us up, God. He gives us supply, for he shall supply all my needs according to his riches and grace, right? But are you taking your supply and pouring it out, or are you pouring out the overflow, which is the seed? Are you understanding what I'm saying? Okay. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I just misquoted that earlier. According to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, God is going to supply your need. But he is also the Lord of the harvest. So he's going to supply your need, and then he's going to fill your cup overflowing. So we don't just come to God expecting to be made full, like Deb said, and then just empty ourselves out, but expect to be made full, and like D.L. Moody says, run over and constantly be made full, so that we can run over, so that we can pour out what is the overflow, what is the abundance, what not is just life, but life more abundant in Christ. So we're not just pouring out to be empty again, but we're pouring out of the overflow because we can't stop being full because it runs over. My cup runneth over. Say, my cup runneth over. Say it stronger. My cup runneth over. Yes. Come on, walk in that. God wants to give you what's in his heart. But sometimes we're just taking what's in his hand. God wants to give you the riches of his glory, not just the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 talks about the riches of his grace. Ephesians 3 talks about the riches of his glory. You see, God wants to give us and provide us and share with us the mystery of his will. The mystery of his heart, the deep things. That's why people say it's a whisper of God, because sometimes we got to shut up and listen, because he wants to give you what's in his heart, but oftentimes we'll take what's in his hand and think that it's just enough to get by. It's just enough to make do. You see, some Christians have a very stingy spirit. They say, I don't need much, just enough to get by. They say, imagining themselves to be pious or religious and humble, seemingly humble. But in fact, they are grudging and miserly. They are withholding the blessing with which God wants to bless them to bless others. They are stopping the abundance of God in their life. They have no overflow. Consequently, they have no flow either. They become stagnant pools, like Mike talked about. A blessing to nobody. Do you have a stingy spirit? Do you say, I'll just take enough to get by. I'll just take enough to get me through the week. I'll just take enough to get me through the day. Because God wants to give you life, and he wants to give you life more abundantly. He wants to fill your cup, and he wants your cup to runneth over. Amen? Jesus paid the price to supply us with everything we need to make things right between man and God. But he didn't just come to give you life. He came to give it to you more abundantly. I'm going to say that again. Jesus came to pay the price to supply us with everything we need to make things right between us and God. He came to meet that need. He came to meet that supply. He came to meet that provision, that separation that we have with God because of our sin and because of the first Adam and because of our separation with God. Jesus paid the ultimate price to fill that need, to fill that supply, to provide that. But he didn't just come to give you life. He came to give it to you more abundantly. Amen? Come on, someone shout about that. Don't settle for merely life. Find in him life more abundant. Find in him life to the full. Let your cup runneth over. I want to end with this. Open in your Bibles if you have them on you to Ephesians 1, and then we'll go into Ephesians 3. I want to read some passages. Because the Messiah came to give us forgiveness of sins and life and right relationship with the Father, you don't stop there. There's more. 90% of what's being taught out there about what's being taught out there about salvation and redemption, it's right on. It's good. But it stops at the forgiveness of sins. It stops at your ticket to heaven, and then it continues with rules and regulations and guidelines on how to keep your ticket to heaven. But God wants to give you life more abundantly. God wants your cup to runneth over. Don't be stingy and say, I got what I need. I got forgiveness of sins. Don't be stingy and say, I got enough to get by. No, my friends. He has more for you. Let's start in Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious name, with which he has blessed us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. Ephesians 1:7, what that was. Let's go to Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3:14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power, yes, through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the height, the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Adoniram Judson Gordon said this: why then should we be satisfied with the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace in Ephesians 1:7, when the Lord would grant us according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened by his Spirit in the inner man? So Ephesians 1 talks about in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of his grace. But then in Ephesians 3, it says that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power by the Holy Spirit in your inner man. That's good stuff. I don't know how you can read that and read it monotone, or I don't know how you can read that and just go, No, I'm jumping up and down. I'm running around. I'm shouting. I'm excited about the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. Don't be satisfied with being filled. Being filled is a prerequisite to overflowing. Don't be satisfied with just enough to get by, just enough to fill your cup. For he has given you the Holy Spirit in power to be strengthened in your inner man. That's why I said earlier, I can't sit in the presence of mine enemies, my adversities, my trials, my troubles, my problems, with just half empty, half full, or all the way full. I need my cup to runneth over to handle that. So for your trials and your adversities today, don't just expect him to fill you up, but he makes your cup runneth over. So who possesses your body? Who possesses who you are? Who strengthens you? Who supplies you? Is it Christ, who already has a body, who already came to earth to pay the ransom? Is it God who sits on his throne, who possesses your body, who strengthens you, who fills you, who makes your cup runneth over? Is it the Father? Is it the Son, who already has a body, the Father on the throne? Oh, my friends, there is one who doesn't have a body, who has come. The Holy Spirit longs to possess you, to dwell within you, to make your cup runneth over, to strengthen you in your inner man. The Holy Spirit makes your cup runneth over. So stand to your feet and let's continue to worship. For God sits on the throne, exalted high, magnified, and at his right hand, the Son, who already has a body, who has come and gone back to the Father. And in John 15, he said, I must go to the Father so that I can send you the Holy Spirit. There is one who doesn't have a body, and I'm here to tell you that he wants a body in the earth. And the Holy Spirit wants to possess you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to gird you up and arm you and cover you and send you out so that you can, like we said earlier, pour out. Are you pouring out? Are you pouring out in the world? Are you evangelizing to the lost? Are you praying for the sick? Are you laying hands on those that they might recover? Come on, Holy Spirit, we cry out to you now, just as we would call on the Father, God who sits on the throne, just like we would call out to Jesus, the bridge between man and God who made a way for us. We call out now to the Holy Spirit, and we lift our hands all over this room, and we say, Holy Spirit, we want more of you in this place. We want more of you, Holy Spirit. Fill us up to overflowing. Oh, keep us close to the Father, that we might be filled continually. Come on, lift your voices in this place. Just cry out to God. Just cry out to the Holy Spirit to fill you up, overflowing. May your cup runneth over. May your cup runneth over. May your cup runneth over.
I want to overflow with your power. I want to overflow with your power to break every chain. To break every chain. Can you say that to him? I wanna overflow with your power. I wanna overflow with your power to break every chain, break every chain.
See, sometimes we go into these prophetic songs. Well, Lord, it's just singing a spontaneous song of our heart. I want to overflow with your power. See, that's Bible. Where we read in Ephesians 3 that according to the riches of his glory, that he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his spirit in your inner man. See, she's singing to the Holy Ghost. I want to overflow with your power. Come on, let's sing that with her. Come on, declare that. Speak it.
I wanna overflow with your power.
Oh, we wanna overflow with you, God.
Break every chain.
Yes.
Break every chain.
Come on, his power strengthens you.
I wanna overflow with your power.
Come on, declare that. Claim it. Grab it.
I wanna overflow with your power.
We wanna overflow
to break every chain.
Yeah.
To break every chain.
Come on, declare it every voice. I wanna overflow.
I wanna overflow with your power.
Pour it out, Holy Spirit.
I wanna overflow. There is power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Come on, let's sing it. There is power in the name of Jesus. Come on. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Overflow with his power. so we can overflow with His power. 'Cause there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
I just hear God saying that He's rekindling the flame of hope. For some of you, you've had this flame of hope that's been that the enemy's tried to put out through other people, through rejection, through failure, through unfulfilled desires that you believe God has given you, but you haven't seen those things come to pass yet. And so it's caused you to begin to give up hope. It's caused you to allow that flaming desire of God's passion to begin to grow dim, to begin to grow weak. But I just hear God saying that He's renewing and rekindling that fire of passion and hope within you, so that you'll begin to pursue those desires that you've forgotten about. You'll begin to pursue those desires that you have believed were unfulfilled, that you may have begun to question, God, did you give me this desire or not? Well, He's saying He did give it to you, and He's saying that His Spirit is going to rekindle the hope of that desire. It's going to rekindle the hope of that passion that He's placed within you. And He reminded me of whenever the prophet was competing with the prophets of Baal. And He told him, He said, bring stones and pour water on the wood and pour water all around the sacrifice. And He says, let's see what God's going to do. And then it says that fire came down and ate up everything. It burned up the rocks, the sacrifice, the water that was surrounding it. It just burned up everything. And I hear God saying that He's rekindling this flame, this flame that has grown dim and weak. He's going to rekindle this flame, and it's going to become so powerful and strong that it's just going to burn up every rejection, everything, every failure. Everything that the enemy has tried to bring into your mind to cause you to question who God is. He's going to rekindle that hope.
The prophet's hope was never challenged. Though the water came on, the wood came around the altar, the prophet's hope was never gone. God dreams over you. Dreams. God dreams with you. The dreams that He wants to see you live and fulfill. And just because water gets poured on, He's not lost hope. So join with Him. Come on. Rekindle that fire. Rekindle that hope. He's going to do it. The Lord gave me a picture of the overflow that we've been talking about. Why do we overflow? Michael talked about earlier, are you pouring out anywhere? Like, are you full just for yourself? Are you pouring out? Are you ministering to other people? Are you evangelizing? Are you sharing the word of the Lord as you go places? Are you ever pouring out? And kind of back to the beginning of what I was talking about ministering out of the overflow of God and not out of the supply. You see, He fills your cup. He gives you bread for food. He supplies your need. But the seed is for the increase. The overflow is for the increase. So I want to make an important point that God gives you bread for food. That's for you. He fills you for you. but you overflow for others. He supplies you with what you need for you. The bread that he gives you, you eat. You live off. Don't give your bread away. You'll never overflow. So live off of the supply of God and minister out of the overflow. And the image that he gave me, the picture that he gave me, was so many cups empty in the earth. So many cups. And your cup may have been filled this morning by the word that came, because of the word that's overflowing out of me. All right? Your cup may have been filled. In the same way, I saw so many cups empty, half full, but they were being filled by cups next to them overflowing. So if you're empty and someone gets around you that's overflowing, and I just kind of come close, fill someone up, and they, you see what I'm saying? That's the image that the Lord gave me. And so we overflow, we minister out of the overflow of God. But we live off of the supply of God. And that was my initial point, is that he gives you bread for food and he gives you seed to sow. So sow your seed in the earth and overflow as you minister. Ministry can look like a lot of things. I'm not talking about ministering from a pulpit. You guys know that. We're a mature house here. I'm talking about discipleship. I'm talking about your job, your workplace, as you engage with other people, as you interact with other people, when you go out to different places and you're able to buy someone a meal, buy the person behind you their meal. Just give them a little extra money and say, hey, buy their meal behind me. That's overflow. But don't do it out of your supply. Okay? Don't do it to where you're not being fed. Do that out of the overflow of his grace. So live in such a way to where you're being strengthened in your inner man according to the riches of his glory by the Holy Ghost, to where you overflow on other people. Does that make sense? So that's what I wanted to get to. I want to take a few moments right now as we kind of chew on that. Just go ahead and have a seat right where you're at. We want to pray. You guys can keep on. That's fine. We might worship a little bit. We want to pray for Henry Thomas right now. Does anyone have an update on him? We haven't heard anything. Henry Thomas is battling right now cancer, and he's gone through several different operations, and we haven't heard anything from Mary or him recently, so we just want to press into prayer for a moment about that. Can we just all do that right now? Just press into the Father's heart, that his cup may be filled to overflowing. So Lord, we pray right now for Henry and Mary. We speak healing and life to Henry's body. We believe in the power of the name of Jesus that can break every chain, break every bondage, break every sickness. And so we speak to that right now. And we call for healing in his body. We call for the right things to be happening in his body, whether it's blood cell counts, white blood cells, red blood cells. We call for healthy blood pressure. We call for healthy readings all across his body, for his body to function on earth as it is in heaven. So come on, just press in for it. Just a minute. We're going to do this for about 30 seconds or so, or 60 seconds, so just press in. Come on, pray. Come on. Reach in that strength within you. Pray in the Spirit right now all over the room. We're just going to pray. Come on, we're not immature here. We're not weak here. Don't pray like you're weak. Pray like you're strong. So let's press into Henry for a moment. Lord, we call forth healing in Jesus' name.
Mary just when she says to me just declaring a creative miracle, okay? So let's just come in agreement. You know, I always ask the person what they want, okay? What do they want to see? Does she want to see a creative miracle here? Because, you know, he's been through a lot with chemo and stuff, and that hurts the body. So let's just declare creative miracle, God. Just speak it out of your mouth. Speak it out of your mouth. A creative miracle, Father, in Jesus' name. A creative miracle. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you right now for creative miracles. God, we thank you right now that you're moving by your spirit. Father God, we stretch our hands, oh God, to Henry, God, and we speak the word of the Lord to him. And we speak the word of the Lord saying that by your stripes, Henry, you are healed. We send ministering angels to him right now. We pray, oh God, that your ministering angels will go and rage war against the enemy, against his body. No more, no more. We speak healing from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. Oh God, we pray, oh God, that you would touch, oh God, that you would touch that one area, oh God, whatever that he may have to make right in his heart, oh God, make it right, let him make it right, oh God, make the crooked place straight, make the wrong ways right, in the name of Jesus, oh God, we decree it and we declare, your word said that we decree a thing, it shall be established, we decree and declare wholeness, 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 wholeness. No more delay, no more delay, no more delay, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Anyone else have a burning? I want to pray for Henry. We call it done. We say his cup is overflowing. Stay here in this atmosphere of worship, corporate worship. Just begin to prepare an offering, prepare your tithes and offering. I find it's similar to the supply of God and the overflow of God when we talk about the finances. The tithe, which is what we're preparing now, the tithe is the supply. When you have extra, as Apostle Clay talks about, when you sow extra, or when you give first fruits, that is seed for increase. Make sense? Shake your head at least with me. The tithe is the supply. He said it last week. If you get paid 52 weeks out of the year and you give 51 weeks out of the year, you're not a tither. I might step on some toes, so I hope you wore your steel-toed boots to church today. But the tithe is out of your supply, out of your income, out of what you make, the 10% tithe. You want to counter that, you can send all blackmail to claynash@claynash.org. But that's what we teach here. That's what we know as truth. The tithe is your supply. When you sow first fruits and when you sow believing, name your seed, that principle, that's not out of the tithe. That's out of extra. That's out of seed for increase. So I hope that helps, that little tidbit about the supply and the overflow that helps you with preparing your tithe and your first fruits. So just think about that for a moment. We're going to take up offering.